morning again.
Good morning, Scott.
So we will continue this morning looking at the document with the attribute of the sufficiency of God. We highlighted two particular truths regarding his sufficiency. God is responsible for his creation, and God is independent of his creation. So we'll pick up at the third one and then consider the third one and fourth one and finish this particular attribute. Third one is we are dependent on God's sufficiency. Here we kind of see the other side of the equation. God's creation is not independent of him. He is independent of creation. Let's look again at Acts chapter 17. Paul's sermon here in Acts chapter 17. And we'll look at verses 26 through 29. Acts 17, 26 through 29. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined the appointed times and the boundaries of the habitation, that they would seek God, perhaps they might grope for him, find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children. Being then children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. A couple of things from this passage. One, we as individuals find our reference point in him. Notice that it says that in God we live and move and exist. Paul makes the point that we can't know ourselves apart from God. You will never truly know who you are. You will never truly know where you came from, why you're here, or where you're going apart from God. No self-definition will help you make sense of time and space and reality apart from God. In him, he says, we move. In him, we have our existence. God appointed when you were born, and he has appointed when you were born. God says all of life is to be lived in relationship to him. But autonomous, sinful man rebels against this. Sinful man can be compared to a rebellious teenager who doesn't want mom and dad to rule over him anymore. Man and men have decided that they will live independently of God, and they have rebelled against him. But he is our reference point. And we also note the fact that God is inescapable. What do I mean by that? Well, when men rebel against God, they only create an environment where instead of enjoying his life, they must endure his wrath. You see, even in hell, men cannot get away from God. You can do nothing to escape God. We are all dependent on him. Even if you couldn't see it, the sun will shine. The sun will shine because that's what the sun does. Well, God will always be God because he is. If you don't believe in God, if you reject God, if you fail to acknowledge God, if you choose to deny that he is, listen, he is still God. Because God is not dependent on us. We are dependent on him. Before I go to the last point, which is a point in which we start applying some of the things that we have said so far, let me sort of summarize what we've said this far. We've said that God is sufficient within himself. He is responsible for everything we see, all of creation. Yet he is independent of his creation. He can do whatever he wants, of course, consistent with who he is. By virtue of the fact that we live, move, and have a being in him, we are utterly dependent on him. All this is because, or all that we are, is because of all that he is. Now the next point, it's interesting that this passage of scripture was brought up this morning and we recited together because we'll spend a little bit of time precisely looking at the passage of scripture. We're going to consider our completeness, or find that our completeness is only in God, which is a truth related to his sufficiency. So we're going to look at Psalm 23 for a minute, make some application upon some corroboration with a particular statement that we find our completeness only in God. God's sufficiency means that we can find our completeness only in him. Now, this particular truth appears all throughout the Bible, but we want to take one of the most beautiful poetic passages in all scripture to make this final and all important point. So David wrote Psalm 23 while he himself was reflecting on his old occupation as what? What did he do before he became king? He was a shepherd. And he writes this psalm while reflecting on his own occupation as a shepherd. David knew God. The Psalms reflect his knowledge of and his intimacy with God. In fact, God himself is the one who said that David was a man after one. So as he reflected, David realized that what he, as a shepherd, was to his sheep, God was a shepherd. So David wrote, Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He says, in essence, that if you really want to come to understand who God is, if you begin to live in the light of who God is, rather than who you think God is, if you have an intimate relationship in which you commune with God, you will have what? No want. And it's all dependent upon whether the Lord is your shepherd. The problem that people, or the problem with people, is that they try to make God into a man. They try to shape God into their own image and their own likeness. As long as a sheep cannot, the sheep lets the shepherd be the shepherd, they will always have someone to lead them. But sheep cannot, and this is kind of important for us to really think about, she cannot take the place of shepherds and shepherds for that matter, do not want to become like sheep. So what we ought to stop doing or trying to do is we ought to stop trying to get God to be like us and simply acknowledge him for who he is. So David says, I shall not want. And then he takes the other five verses to explain that if the Lord is your shepherd, that he will meet every category of need. And he uses the next few verses to cover or to demonstrate how God meets your needs in all of these categories. But is the Lord your shepherd? So first we see that God meets the spiritual needs of the person. He says in verse 2 and the first part of verse 3, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. David says that if the Lord is your shepherd, he will meet your spiritual needs. A carpet of green grass and quiet waters is a picture of rest. And David essentially points or states, or his point is that we shall not lack life. We all know life is full of frustrations and sometimes hardships and difficulties. But if you let God be God, you let the shepherd be your shepherd and do what he does, lead. In the midst of your pressures in life and your pain and your challenges and your difficulties, when you submit to who he is, he refreshes, he restores your soul. He comes to us when you're cast down and depressed. Psalm 42, 5 and 11 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? When we turn to the Lord, he sets our feet and gets us going again. With all that David means when he says that God restores our soul. Scripture tells us about two different roads. The broad road that leads to life. And then there's the other way, the narrow way that leads to life. And the fundamental differences appear between these two roads. The broad road is traveled, Scripture tells us. Many travel by that. And when you think of it, when you think of what it means for God to restore one's soul, you think of your journey, you think of your life, and you think of the mountaintops and the valleys and all the things that you experience in between the time you come to faith in Christ and the time you go home to be with him. As you're traveling through that path, that narrow path, though you may experience hardships, though you may experience difficulties, there is, in a sense, throughout your journey, those stations where you can meet with God and essentially be refreshed and restored. And that's one of the things that I really, it breaks my heart for people I know that I work with. Family members, neighbors, who are not believers. I know how challenging it is for me as a Christian who has a relationship with Christ, how difficult things can be sometimes, even though I know I have a shepherd, even though I know the promises of God, even though I have access into the throne room, things can still be very challenging, but there's always hope. Unbelievers don't have any of that. There is no fueling stations in that crowded road. There's nothing there. But whatever life has to offer, which is what? By comparison to what Christ gives us, nothing. Those traveling that broad road, there's a state of no hope, no restoration. We don't necessarily say that the narrow road or unbelievers simply don't understand what one experiences through that narrow road as one needs to avoid in those instances in life where you need your soul to be refreshed and restored. There's not a lot of man on that narrow path. But Jesus Christ moves up and down with us through that narrow path, always being there to meet our spiritual needs as we have needed. No doubt that we're all going to end up at some point, more than once, in our journey of life, in those ditches. But as we submit to Him, what David says is that He refreshes us. He restores our souls so that we can keep on keeping on. How thankful are you for the fact that you have a shepherd? David says, makes you lie down in green pastures. Who, David says, leads you beside quiet waters. Who, David says, listen, restores yourself. When was the last time you thanked God for being our shepherd? Who does those things for us? If we remain as faithful sheep, not attempting to take the place of the shepherd and let the shepherd be the shepherd. The problem is that that's what we sometimes have a challenge with. We want to take the role of the shepherd, if for nothing else in our own lives. So He meets our spiritual needs, but He also meets our directional needs. Notice that. David says in the second part of verse 4, David continues and said, He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Listen, not only does your shepherd make you lie down in green pastures, not only does your shepherd lead you beside quiet waters, not only does He restore your soul, but He guides you. For He tries to guide in the paths of what? Righteousness. A good way to always know whether you're actually following God's direction is by assessing what path you're on. If you're on a path of righteousness, you're being guided by whom? Your shepherd. But when you're not on a path of righteousness, then something other than the shepherd is guiding you. So He guides us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, when David led sheep, every now and then, sheep were told are not very smart. We're told we're dumb. So every once in a while, a dumb sheep would wander off and on a wrong road. Anybody been a dumb sheep? David would leave the flock and find that one sheep, pick it up, put it on his shoulder, and take it right back to the right path, right back into the fold. What David did for his sheep, God does for His. God guide you. If you yield to the shepherd, God will guide you down the path of righteousness. He can take a lost sheep and get found. He can take the wrong decisions that we make and use them for our benefit. He can take you going down the wrong road in life and will once again reconnect you with him and put you on the right road. No different than David did. One of the sheep strayed. He can take a bad situation and make it good. If the Lord is your shepherd, and that always, we always have to go back to that question. If the Lord is your shepherd, not only does he meet your spiritual needs, but Paul, David tells us that he meets our directional needs. He guides us in life. Maybe you didn't know where, or you didn't know you would be where you are today, but God, the Good Shepherd, knows the right way, the right road for his sheep. If we simply let God do what he does as the shepherd, he will restore our soul. He will refresh our soul. If you will let him be the sufficient, the independent God that he is, that we talked about earlier today. And if we stop giving him advice and simply do what he says, he will direct us down the right path. Oftentimes when we go to the Lord in prayer, though he wants us to come and speak to him, sometimes we ought to stop to listen as well. We always seem to think that the time for us, or whenever we come to the Lord, when we enter the throne room of heaven, we think it's our time always to simply release and make our demands and bring a list of expectations. God is saying, there may not in and of itself be something wrong with you doing that, but will you take enough time to stop and listen to me as I attempt to offer you direction on the path of righteousness? You don't listen often as we ought to. And when I say listen, I'm simply saying, I'm not talking about us hearing an audible voice and listening. I'm saying, as we meditate upon the Word of God, we hear and assure with his revealed Word. Oftentimes we don't. He also, David says, he also meets our emotional needs. David then says, if the Lord is your shepherd, notice what he says in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When sheep get lost, they'll oftentimes come between two mountains, or two crevices. And if it is the right time of day, the sun will cast a shadow over the path. And when it does that, guess what the sheep are going to think is happening? Since they're not very smart, they think night is coming. That's when you see the shadow. And sheep, as I understand, don't like the night. So, of course, sheep are afraid. And David says that when the shadows of life come, when they sometimes overcome us, and we think things are bad. We think we have no hope. We think things are out of kilter. God stands by us with his rod and with his staff. Now let's look at the rod and the staff. The rod was a club the shepherd had designed essentially to pulverize hyenas or foxes who tried to prey on sheep. The staff was a long stick with a hook, and it was used by the shepherd so he could reach into the brushes and pull out sheep when they caught in the thicket. Now, if you make some application of that without reading too much into it. Think of David's life. Yes, David was a man after God's own heart. David experienced some serious turmoil in his own life. I mean, not all of his experience were not the top experiences. He experienced pain in heaven. David himself, if you read through his life or read about his life, David himself had gotten caught in thickets because of his immorality. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba, in addition to committing adultery and adultery. He has a husband too. The shadow, as you think of Psalm 23, and as you think of what David must have been thinking about as he's writing this psalm, there's nothing in Scripture that tells us that this is exactly what he thought at the moment he wrote these words, but one can speculate. Chances are, as he reflected upon some of those valleys in his own life, as he reflected upon the sins he had committed and the experiences or the consequences he felt as a result of those sins, one can certainly speculate that those were times when he felt the shadow of death coming on. But when he dealt with his sins and he returned to God, God's rod protected him. God's staff pulled him back in, and God's grace covered him. If the Lord is your shepherd, David says, he can keep fear from overwhelming you. Fear is a real thing. Fear is a real thing. And I know many individuals who have been paralyzed by fear. For whatever reason, David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, could he think of experiences in his own life that would have made that statement a reality for him? Absolutely. And he says, in my own experience, as I struggled with consequences for sins I had committed, as I struggled with my enemies pursuing me to kill me, during the times when I thought there was no out, when I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no fear. Listen, it takes being in a real relationship with the Almighty God to be able to say that. It only happens when the Lord truly is our shepherd, when we are in a right relationship with Him. So when the Lord is your shepherd, he takes care of your emotional needs, as the psalmist puts it in Psalm 127, verse 2. He giveth his beloved sleep. You sometimes read those verses and they mean nothing. But when you start reading those things in the context of Psalm 23, particularly verse 4, it takes a whole new meaning, doesn't it? His beloved can sleep precisely because they fear no evil. He gives you the ability to sleep regardless of the circumstances around you. He will meet your emotional needs so that you can say, as David, I fear no evil. And then he meets also our physical needs. Look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Inside the belt shepherds wore was a little cloth in a pouch. In the pouch were fodder and grains. So whenever David found a lost sheep, he would spread the cloth on the ground and put the food from his little pouch on the cloth. That was the table for the sheep. Foxes and hyenas hung around, but not only could they not eat the sheep, they could not eat what the sheep was eating because of the shepherd's presence. You can see why we fear no evil. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. He would also take the cup that he carried in his belt, dip it in water, and as he walked over to the sheep, the water would splash out of the top of the cup. And the cup would be running over, letting the sheep know that there was going to be more than enough water to satisfy its thirst. God is saying that what David was to his sheep, he is to us. He is so sufficient that the running over of your cup does not depend on what the economy does. When you say, and this is all what this is what it means to be able to say that the Lord is your shepherd. When you stay in God's will and God's way, he gives you your daily bread, he meets. We don't always demonstrate that in our own experiences. In fact, God does not stop meeting the needs of his children before it's time to die. When Israel went camping in the wilderness, manna came down. God supernaturally supplied them because he was their shepherd. Then the Lord is your shepherd. He is sufficient for your spiritual needs. He is sufficient for your directional needs, for your emotional needs, for your physical needs. And lastly, he is sufficient for your eternal needs. Notice what he says in verse 6. Surely your goodness and loving kindness will follow me for how long? All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. do we live as if we believe that his goodness and loving kindness follows us all the days of our life? That's why sometimes we show our faithlessness. He restores us back into control. We stand. Listen, what David is saying is that God is not only, God is good not only for time, but for eternity. If you know Jesus Christ, he is sufficient. There's not a need, listen to me, there's not a single need that goes on. But sometimes, for certain things, there are certain conditions, right? I mean, we can't just decide to go out and live however we want to live in the earth, but we can live in the earth of believers. There will be consequences of those things. What he says is that as long as we walk, as long as we as sheep submit and follow our shepherd, these things are things that we experience. They are a reality in our lives. So if you're down, here's what you need to lift you up. If you don't know which decision to make, he's who you need to direct your path. If you're afraid of how the world is going, he's able to give you this peace. If you're confused about how you're going to make ends meet, he will faithfully supply your needs. If you're not sure about where you're going to live forever, he's already here. If you come against him. In closing, I have a question. Based on those verses that we just looked at, those categories that he covered, question. Is there any issue in your life now that doesn't fit into one of these categories? Your needs are either spiritual, directional, emotional, physical, or eternal. God is sufficient to care for the Lord. Everything you need can be covered by the sufficiency of God as you live under his authority, as you live according to his will, and in concert with his word. If you come to know him and live in him obediently, willingly, and voluntarily, God will demonstrate to you regularly his sufficiency. Some may ask, why does God let me go through hardships and trials and tribulations? So that you will know how sufficient you are and how sufficient he is. Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has your eternal destiny been settled? Will you be with him forever? If you don't, this is the day, this is the acceptable day of salvation when you trust him. And if you are a saint, but you're struggling with something, his sufficiency. Surrender to him, submit, follow as a sheep, the shepherd. All those needs, be sufficient. Amen. Yeah. we don't understand you. We apprehend some things you've told us. We struggle with others, but experience has often been the thing that validates your sufficiency. There have been challenges we have all faced in which we have seen anything. We have experienced your faithfulness. It's not a subjective thing. Because it's not just me who comes down, or two or three others, it is millions of saints around the world throughout church history. We have experienced the same. Our struggle is in understanding that we're sheep and that you are the shepherd. And that we ought to faithfully trust you and follow you rather than attempting to do things along the way. Though they may be good and motivated by good. There is not a word we can use in the English vocabulary to express our gratitude for who you are and what you've done. The fact that I could say the Lord is my shepherd ought to make me fall prostrate on the floor and worship him. What an awesome God you are. What a faithful God you are. What a gracious God you are. May that every day intentionally may I pursue you every day to learn more and more about who you are and about your help for me. We give you all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ.